Welcome to the Speak in Flow podcast. Let's unleash your leadership voice. Listen in to the untold stories of high-performing leaders, where they will reveal their golden takeaways to help you become fearless communicators and fast-track your career. Join us for the journey. Hello, dear listeners. Welcome to the Speak and Flow podcast, where we share unique experiences to help you unleash your leadership voice. Today, we have an amazing leader, Marish Kutlu. She is from a scientific background at Roche Diagnostic. Hi, Marish.
Hi.
Good to see you. Thanks for being here.
Thank you so much. Good to be here too.
Like I mentioned, you have a scientific background, and I want to hear what you do and how, you know, it's great because we can relate it to communication. As you know, science is difficult to translate into communication. So I'm happy to dive into your perspective around this.
Yeah, that is so true because I started my studies back in Boston, and I worked in lab right after that. But what hit me hard was like working with animals and tissue was making me feel less of a human. At least I'm the chatty type. And that helped me to get into science in a more chatty environment because one of my good friends from college, she said, hey, there's clinical research. And since then it's going to sound like I'm a really old lady, but still I'm a great looking old lady. So I've been doing this for more than 20 years. I'm in clinical research. I just diverted from human studies to instruments. That's why I'm in Roche Diagnostics, because I witnessed a lot of things throughout my career. And when you work with humans, when you do research, you have so much risk. So what I do basically now, we are qualifying instruments, medical devices for human use, like could be a, you know, like a glucose meter, which is very popular right now. Everybody's checking their glucose.
Correct.
And for future, everything is becoming more, how do you say, personalized. Perhaps you heard that before. So it's for the betterment of everyone. You can go to the lab or you can have your own lab at home. So I'm in that line of work. And it is true. I think scientific people like to read. Mm-hmm. And most of the personalities are introverted, which I didn't know before. I mean, I am a little bit introverted, but I'm most extroverted. Mm-hmm. So
how do you communicate? Yeah. How do you bridge that gap with communicating to more of the introverts?
So we usually do personality tests, and Roche is very big in that. So you know your group.
Got it.
I usually work with blue people.
Right. Did you do the insights?
Roche rolled it out. So I don't know the name, but you have like colors.
Blue. Yeah, that's insights. Yeah, I'm familiar. Yeah, blue is more of the analytical, structured, logical. And then yellow, I imagine you're more red. You definitely have a lot of red, which is direct, demanding, result-oriented.
Believe it or not, I'm yellow, then red.
Yellow,
then
green.
Yeah.
And then green.
Because I love to entertain people.
So yellow for the audience, yellow energy. So there's four distinct color energies and different, and they say they're all have different communication preferences. And it's not that you're one or the other, but it's where you lean more toward your communication preferences. And so it's helpful for you to know what yours is and also helpful for your audience to know what your audience is. So in this case, you work with a lot of people that are more introverted, analytical, and you have the yellow, sunshine yellow energy, which is entertaining. I like to have parties, social events, communicate, and they may not want to on the opposite side. And you also have the directing, the commanding, and then green, which is the nurturing, which we'll talk about a little bit later, which is like your husband, which is more probably more of the green energy, more emotions. And so share with us how you change and the different hats that you have to wear.
So I made a lot of mistakes, but I'm such a curious person, which probably keeps me doing my job and stay alive. I love to learn. Uh-huh. I have good friends, and my husband is actually a blue first, then a green later.
Okay.
So I do get along with blue because I love data myself, but I have a way of expressing myself as opposed to blue.
Right.
I talk as I learn. Like I just do the brainstorming like you would see in a normal, like I'm so creative. like creativity is part of my life. So like music and theater. So with them, if I'm commanding to an audience, which is going to be mostly blue because it's not always like that, I literally just sit down and prepare for half an hour, prepare my bullet points, and I just don't make so many jokes because they really don't enjoy that. So it becomes very dry information. And at the end, I'm like, any questions? And usually, thank God, if you did good job, there are no questions because they are very good in catching details.
Right.
And I would say this is a good group. If you want to roll something to a bigger audience,
right,
roll it to the blue audience first because that's they will catch your deficiencies. So
that's so true. Yeah.
I learned by making many mistakes. So I always liked my field, but I struggled a lot to get the respect because blues are very easy to write you off.
If
they don't like what you said, because I work with a very strong blue manager recently.
Oh yeah.
She and I got along, but she really didn't like some people. And I was listening to her. I'm like, boy, they're rough. Like they can really demand more. And if they don't get it, like you're off the list. And that's very dangerous when you're a manager, because then that person is not going to follow you anymore. That they're not your team anymore. So
for me, had that happen before? Where?
Yes. Yes. It happened to me. And I had, let's say 6 people and 2 of them didn't agree with me, and it's okay. I'm not looking for a fan club. I'm a pretty confident person. I'm not looking for people to follow me, but my manager was someone I always leaned on, and I said, what can I do to get their buy-in? Can you help me? Because I was aware. I mean, I think a manager should be someone very confident about themselves. And I'm not here to preach everyone. I'm not a, you know, pastor. So I wanted to understand what was I missing, and she coached me. So, you know, you have to find your ways to work things out. And I think I have a keen eye for that. I can read the audience very well, which probably, you know, when I got my training with Lynn, that is also very important, right? Like you have to read the people well. Yeah. So I got the buy-in of those 2, the one later, but the one still didn't buy in and she left the group. So it is true. If you don't like your manager, you leave the group. But I mean, I didn't mind because I still have 5 people. Mm-hmm. And so that was an experience. I mean, I had a group where, you know, 2 of my people didn't completely agree with me. One of them started to agree with me later. And then the other one is like, okay, I'm leaving.
How did you do that? Just more conversations?
I got to know her.
Yeah.
And because sometimes we have this facade that we go to the meetings, I'm actually an extremely deep person spiritually and philosophically. I read a lot, but you don't show that at work. It's very superficial, I think. Mm-hmm. And I spent so much time with her. I invited her to lunch. I got to know her, and people will always respond. Someone being compassionate, that always pays off. Mm-hmm. And I ask her, what do you want? Like, I'm very responsive to that because that's how I progress in my life. And I gave her everything she wanted. I got her promoted because she was good. I mean, not that I want some, thumbs up, but she was my best one. Like she was really good. I mean, she was a blue. So blues are, if you get them, they're good workers, but you have to really get their attention. So I got her promoted. And I mean, my manager and I agreed that, you know, she's our superstar. So that was easy. That was easy. But that was one of my intimate interactions with a blue. And later on, it came so easy because this experience was my first leadership experience, hands-on. Because you shadow leaders, but when you do it, it's different. It's very hard.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I learned that you will fail very, very badly. So I just said, okay, so this is how it feels. Because I'm a very accomplished kid, you know. I was always such a nerd, you know, pimples, braces. I had it all, you know. And I said, wow, okay, so this is what it's like to do it on your own, because I failed at school too, but this is different. Like when you fail with people, at least you feel like that, you really have to just let it go. Just let it go. Yeah. But coming back to communication style, you just change your style.
Yeah.
Like, blues don't care you talk too much. They just want to get the information right away.
Right.
And don't waste their time because they have so many things to do.
The right details.
Yeah, but they will ask you that. So know your business well, like know it so well, because I like the way they ask stuff about, let's say we do protocols. It's kind of a recipe. So they will ask stuff about the protocol. And I'm like, okay, you know what? I was very honest in that group. I would say, hey, I don't know. I stopped doing that. You cannot be too honest with your team because they want to see someone who knows everything. I just say, I'm going to come back to you later.
Right.
Like I don't really speak my heart because I'm, you know, I told you I'm very upfront. I speak my heart. I'm a Mediterranean person. You know, everything I do is from my heart. So I said, oh, okay, this is business, maybe a little bit heart, but a little bit brain, you know, just combine both. So yeah, that was pretty much a very hard but very rewarding experience. I'm still benefiting from that experience tremendously.
Like I love that, the idea, the concept of people teaching us things, right? They, you know, we get to opportunity to lean into what can we do to learn what's here. If somebody is annoying me or if somebody is doing something, like, what can we do? And taking the opportunity, because sometimes people might avoid it. They may avoid the conversation. But if you, like you kept on going at it, getting curious, learning about the other person, and then now you know how to relate to them. So you didn't avoid it, but now that taught you something, a different skill set, because that's not generally your communication preference, but now you get it. And now you know how to speak to them more about it. So that's awesome.
And I'm the kind of person, I have so many ideas. So I have so much desire to communicate across. A good friend of mine back in college, she told me, oh my God, it was so hard to talk to you when you were younger because you would stop me. So blues also teach you that. You have to listen to them, because introverted people are not going to be like, hey, stop, I'm going to say this. So you have to really give them the space as well and listen to them. Like, you should see me and my mom talking, because we are both talking. And I don't know how we understand each other. I just was on the phone with her.
That is so funny.
Because she and I are very similar.
That's so
it's like I'm looking at my older version and she's looking at her younger version. That's, and you're so like,
cute. We talk
at the same time and we understand each other.
Yeah. I love that. That's awesome. Nope. And then, like, what about the vibe, right? I can almost imagine you and your mom talking. It's like just a fun and energetic vibe.
The movie My Big Fat Greek Wedding, that's how we communicate. Uh-huh. Yeah, like, there's so much drama and so much joy.
That's the end. And then what about you and your husband? Can you share? Do you mind sharing a little bit about that?
Oh, yeah, sure. So my husband is American. He's from San Francisco, just to give a brief background. And being a Turkish, and I lived in many countries, by the way, so it changes you. I lived in Switzerland for a while. It was like 5 years. It changed me a lot, because you have to get away from your comfort zone and adapt to a new culture. That was substantially different for me. And that country is very introverted. Like, we say California, you know, San Francisco could be very introverted in a sense, because we have engineers and, you know, all these coders and stuff. But Switzerland was a different level. Like, at least the town I lived was on Northwest. And I learned so much about, you know, patience and communication there. But coming to my husband, he's a little bit like Switzerland. Mm-hmm. So Mike, that's his name. I hope he doesn't mind. I heard his name. You guys are not going to come and find me at home, but
How long have you been married now?
Oh, 7 years, but we dated a long time, because, you know, he's a blue. He wanted to make sure he accumulated his data to make sure that I'm marryable.
So I'm asking that because it shows all the dedication of you both being together. So talking about something difficult right now, the communication challenges, you've obviously shown that you've worked through a lot together.
Oh, I think it's the hardest companionship is marriage, because we are different cultures as well. And he struggled a lot with the Turkish culture, because we are very dramatic as opposed to him. Uh-huh. And when you check his heritage, he's, you know, Irish, Swedish. He's from the very cold part of the world, where these people really talk with their eyes, you know, they don't even open their mouth. So he really learned to talk and defend himself when he was with me and with my family. So how I talk with him is, so he enjoys food. So you have to be strategic. If I have something I want from him, there's always food in that discussion. So I always offer him food, because I know he's going to say yes, because I'm a good cook. But, you know, if there's nothing that I need to worry about, you know, you can just casually ask him, he'll say yes or no. Because I go with the, you know, you always have to go everywhere with a plan in your mind.
Yeah.
So that's my plan. If it's very important, there's really good food you have to cook and just make him feel comfortable.
Uh-huh.
So he's very relaxed.
Uh-huh.
And get into the point, because, you know, he's a blue. He doesn't want you to dwell around. So just don't go around the bushes.
Right.
Say, hey, I want to, you know, do this. Let's go there. You know, let's travel this place. I'm just making it. So usually it goes well, but, you know, I think he's a really good communicator. I like his style.
Uh-huh.
I actually learn from him more than I am actually achieving things, because shadowing him taught me how he prepares for you know, he prepares at least 3 months if he wants something from me. Mm-hmm. He's a great preparer. And I was going to tell you that too. At work, if something is very substantially important for me, I spend so much time preparing, because we underestimate preparation. Preparation can actually make you win so many discussions, especially heated ones, that you have to get something, let's say promotion or something. You have to prepare very well. So he's the kind of who prepares for months, because he knows me so well. Usually I'm very tight in kind of money matters. I'm very, very, like the things he likes, I don't like, and the things I like, he doesn't like. So we always say no to each other. Let's say he's going to buy something for his car. Right. I always say no, because I'm like, why we need that, you know, like why? And of course, I want something for the house, and he's going to say no to that. So we do our own preparations. But to be fair, preparation and like making the environment comfortable, I think, are the key for our relationship to work. We know each other and we show the respect and the kindness. I think that wins the relationship. You always get a good answer for that. He's not spontaneous though. So I think that's what I'm trying to say. You cannot be spontaneous with this person. You have to be very, give some clues. Like you give treats to a dog, you know, you just give little treats.
Yes.
You just drop the crumbs.
Yes.
And you finally go what you want, like very slowly, steadily.
Oh, that's
different.
Strategy. Very good strategy. I mean, because it's a part of, so it's not such a shock. Right. And then, like you said, you're preparing already. It's not like you're just going to go drop a bomb on them. So you mentally are prepared. You have all your thing. You prepare. And then you also set up the environment. Right. And so that the person feels comfortable. They feel relaxed. The more you feel relaxed, and you've already dropped a little bit of breadcrumbs already. So it's not such a big deal as much.
Blue people don't like change. They are hard to convince in that sense. So I learned that hard way. I love change. Change is my life.
Right.
Like when somebody look at my astrological chart, they were like, "Woo, you had a life." I'm like, "Yeah, bring it on." Like the more complicated things comes to my way, I'm like, "Yes." It's just I have a drive for like unknown.
Because of
my curiosity, but for some people that's stress.
Right.
So. Of course, I stress myself a lot too, but for my husband, I can see that. Like, I couldn't move him from the house he lived. Can you believe? I changed so many houses. I'm 46 right now. I lived in many places. I did so many things because that's what a life for a yellow. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't wait to meet different people everywhere because for me, that's excitement. You know, I love that. But when you start to work with blue and all the other, I mean, I enjoy the flavor they bring, the quality, but you have to appreciate that they just don't want anything that different. They respect that things go as planned, because their keyword is am I prepared for this, and am I going to deliver very well quality, because they are very high quality people too, which was very joyful for me to learn. I have huge respect, like extremely a lot of respect. I have my key people actually in every function that I go and ask, and they're mostly blue, and I'm like, I'm going to do this. What do you think? Like, these are the people I would go and really depend on as well, just to say, and my husband is one of them. Like in certain things, I really depend on him because he's very reliable. I think reliability brings the stability with them. They have to have stability.
And I think that's where you were able to, even though you have different communication preferences, whether it was with your husband or someone with your staff, I think when you go in there with the respect, like the high respect, for even though they have different perspective, you still respect it. I think that's what helps them, you both, to all see eye to eye on things. Like, how do we find commonality, even though because you respect each other. And so eventually sometime or some way you will find an answer. So that's beautiful. Yeah.
I hope they feel it, because now that we have Zoom meetings every day, it's so hard to share emotions. Yeah,
I felt it because you paused and you said, you know, they do all, they don't change, but I have high respect for their quality. And you sit down. So they felt that. I felt that. So
thank you.
Kudos to you.
It's hard. It's very hard.
It is hard. It is hard. But that's what your secret to success is. And that's how you're able to build these relationships and build a good team, a solid team, a successful marriage, even with people that have different communication preferences.
It's a teamwork. It's two. Yeah. I always say that. And I love Arnold Schwarzenegger in that, like this funny Austrian guy, right? He always has huge respect for everything he achieved in his life. And of course, he works so hard, right? But as an immigrant, I really take him as like my mentor. Funny enough, if you don't have that gratitude for every single thing you do, there were so many people helping you to get there. Right. Same for work. I mean, even the bus driver has something for you to go to the work because he drove the bus. It's as little as that. If we deliver that gratitude, because sometimes I feel like some leaders just get very disconnected with their team, mm-hmm. where you see the results because the team gets disconnected with the leader as well. Mm-hmm. I wanted to stay grounded. I saw from my dad, from many stories I read, that was my keyword. I have a lot of gratitude. I always feel very blessed. Mm-hmm. And I love that English word blessed, because in Turkish, we have so many words for this, because I guess we've been through a lot. So we just throw so many words in the language because we're like, well, you know, we're alive again. Thank God. So, you know, the language gets richer and richer, and we were very blessed people. So I am blessed is the exact feeling I have every day. I wake up, I'm healthy. Same in my relationship, same at work. I'm so blessed. I work at Roche Diagnostics, I say to everybody, and I'm blessed. I work with very qualified, very smart people too. And sometimes you need to remind this to the people you work, because they're just so qualified, they forget that too. You're like, yeah. You guys are the best of the best. Like, you know, there's nothing better than you guys. Like, you are really the best in the market. So sometimes it's really, like I said, teamwork. It's
I love that.
Yeah, it's a teamwork.
Yeah. What would you give? What tips, final tips would you give to the leaders out there who are working with different communication preferences? You're the team leader. What would you give them? What advice?
You have to spend personal time with your team. I was very surprised because I had a really good Swiss manager back in Switzerland before I moved here. I have huge respect for him because he gave me a hand. And I have few leaders that I really think they gave me so much that I can never forget about them. He's one of them. And he spent so much time with me because I was the first Turkish person he was managing, but he got to know me and my culture.
Hmm.
And he gave me this tip. I'm just sharing as like a, you know, friendly thing, because I'm that kind of a person. So everybody knows. He's like, when you're sailing, he said, and this is your life, try to get in line with the wind. Don't change the wind. Because I am such a forceful and so in love with everything in my life. I want to change everything around me to make it work for me. Because I was so young by then. You know, you think everything is working for you. But for the leaders that I see right now, especially with the new generation, and I love them. They're kicking so much ass. I love the new generation. There's so much, you know, you know, bad reputation for them. But boy, I love them. So get to know your people, especially in this period of time where everything is from a camera. People talk too much, but they don't ask very specific questions to their team. Like, what do you like to eat?
Right.
What is joy for you? Is family important for you? Like very personal stuff, because people will follow you when you make them seen, see them. They don't see their people because, I mean, I get it. Leaders are busy about their, you know, their milestones, what they're going to achieve.
Right. Right.
Trust me, when you see people, because most people have so much trauma, and you know, we did some work on this when I was doing the communication thing, which I was very excited, and I learned so much about my life. We all have, I'm not good enough. We all do. Right. I would be very surprised if somebody said, no, I don't have it. No, we all do it.
Right.
If you make someone visible with something they know they're good enough,
right,
you got them. Like, see your people, just show them the care. Maybe they don't have that courage to show to themselves, because everybody has some talent. And your job as a leader, you got to make sure you see those people,
because
you're getting paid for that, sorry to say.
Right.
So I think that would be my first thing, because I had many leaders so far here. I think the stress is so much in the US, and there's so many responsibility for one human that you would say, well, they should have hired two people. But, you know, we have just one person doing that. So that time is skipped. But that is actually a very critical time, because if you buy your people, if you buy their hearts, mm-hmm. in a gentle way, if you flourish their hearts, you don't buy hearts. I mean, that's very harsh. You flourish their hearts. You see them. You have a team that's going to say, hey, I want to do that for you.
Right.
So, that's my number one. Number two, maybe, you know, don't be unrealistic about the things you expect from people, because sometimes leaders are usually red.
Right.
And I had a red leader and I said, oh my God, I feel like I'm running a marathon every day. They expect so much from you. You have to know the personalities too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not going to expect weird things from a person who's very slow. You know, right. I'm going to expect quality from that person.
Right.
You got to know your people. So I usually like to do this, you know, personality test as I join a new group, I would say.
Right.
If it's possible. I mean, not every time it's possible, but because you cannot immediately start spending time with them, because let's say you have 15 people. I mean, you're busy. So you can maybe do lunch and stuff, but it will take some time. So sometimes time has to be by your side. So try to roll a personality test, try to get their feeling and spend time with them. And the job is easy. I mean, these people are there to do the job, obviously, for a reason. They are qualified, but to give the ignition, to give the power to the people, they need to believe in you. So be that believable person. Don't put that facade and say, oh, we're doing great. I mean, nobody believes you. Right. And I had so many leaders like that. I said, oh my God, why do I hate this guy? Oh my God, I just don't believe in him, you know?
Right. Because then you don't know what's real and what isn't. Oh my goodness. Those are so great. Those are great, fabulous tips. I think they're so true. And I think that, especially like you said, we have so much going on, but really if they slow it down, really get to know their people, help their people be seen, be heard, like bring out their strengths and really get to know them. Like you said, it's, I think that then they're not climbing the mountaintop on them by themselves. You have a team, you have people with you doing it with you together. And it's so much more fulfilling.
Yeah.
It does require extra communication skills, so listen, which includes listening. Right. Yeah. And presence.
Yeah.
So thank you, Marish. That was so good. I really appreciate that. And I really appreciate your time. And thank you for saying yes to being on the podcast. It was really fun. Yeah. I love your energy. And I'm trusting that the audience also really took a lot out of today. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. So blessings to you. More blessings. Yeah.
Yes. Thank you so much. Thank
Bye.
You.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining the conversation today. Are you curious on how you measure up with your ability to speak in flow? Come grab my free self-assessment at speakinflow.com/assessment. This assessment only takes a couple minutes to fill out. You will get your result within 5 minutes. See how you measure up with your ability to speak in flow and an unshakable confidence. Take the assessment, click on the link in the comments, and I'll see you on the other side.